From the Firebird Radio Studio, it's the Authors on Fire podcast with nationally syndicated radio host and producer, Pat Rulo.
Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, our newest book song, where we create a unique one-of-a-kind song just for your book, and this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo. Today, I am just so happy to once again share a returning author and a Firebird Book Award-winning author. Graduated from Bard College with a BA in the Written Arts, Kent Priori is an author of dark literature, genre-blending epics and vignettes, where dark romanticism meets modern psychology for depiction of inner struggle and the human ability to endure and perhaps even prevail. He has a fascination with humanity and is one of the few to believe that despite our many weaknesses, we are far stronger than we often think. And he wishes to show that strength to those darker individuals burdened by lonesomeness, poor mental health, and other forces perceived to be out of their control, as well as show them that all is not lost. I love that. Welcome back, Kent.
Thanks again for having me, Pat. Thanks for that intro.
Well, thank you for being here, and congratulations on winning the Firebird Book Award.
Thank you.
That's always good news to share.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So in our previous conversation, we discussed your book, The Monsters Among Us, and now we can talk about your second, In the Wake of Gods. But before we get into that, if you don't mind, in the introduction, I shared that you want to show strength to those darker individuals burdened by lonesomeness, poor mental health, and other forces perceived to be out of their control, as well as show them that all is not lost. What do you mean by darker individuals? A two-pointed question. And secondly, why is this important to you?
By darker individuals, I mean those with mental health conditions like anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder like myself, especially those who have those conditions and yet find that medication doesn't work for them, because that is a thing that happens. It's a thing that applies to me. And I've had to, well, The Monsters Among Us was very, very much embodying my own experience. They're trying to figure out how to cope in a world that is very much not neurodivergent friendly, and in a world where medication just made things worse for me. That's who I'm talking about as far as the darker individuals are concerned. And that's also why it's important to me, because it's, you know, one-to-one from my own experience. And my first two books, The Monsters Among Us and In the Wake of Gods, very much mirror that.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine at the same time, I would hope that it would be somewhat cathartic for you to get this out of your head and put it on paper.
Oh, 100%. When I first wrote The Monsters Among Us, like the draft forever ago, the first draft that no one has ever seen. as soon as I finished that final line, it was like, poof, like all my anxieties and depressions of that time period, like, gone like vapor. And it's not a lie that writing is extremely therapeutic. And yeah, writing that book resolved me of a lot of my inner turmoil, as well as launched me into the next phase of my life, which of course, In the Wake of Gods being a sequel, kind of takes after that next phase in a way.
Right. You know, I'm thinking it's almost a gift, maybe just for you, maybe for others, that the medications didn't work, because this kind of puts you in a situation where now you realize that getting it out of you via writing was a helpful solution.
Yeah. So I'm really glad you brought up that point, because that is a thing I explore in these books, that, okay, you have depression, you have anxiety, you have some darkness within you that you're struggling with. It's not all that bad. If you can learn to cope and shoulder that pain, I promise on the other side, there is light. There is gifts to be found. There are positives to these perceived, bad things. Again, I'm putting that in air quotes. This is not on video. So I want to mention that. But yeah, there's gifts to be found on the other end. And yes, you're absolutely right. I unfortunately struggled in my childhood, and that struggling bore the monsters among us.
Well, I hope that this is inspiring to others.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's look at your book, In the Wake of Gods. Maybe give us a little peek.
Sure. Well, at the Monsters Among Us follows Seth as a young man. He's struggling. He has to learn how to cope and, try to piece a semblance of a life back together to learn and learn to live well. Now, in the Wake of Gods, it starts about 3 years later, and then it continues like 20 years past the events of Monsters Among Us. He's a father now. He has learned to live well. He has learned how to cope and balance his struggle. However, now he has a daughter who's showcasing many of the same problematic tendencies that he used to have. So there's this dual dilemma of just simply trying to be a father as well as to a daughter who has the same stuff as he has, as well as continuing to balance his own mental health, because this is a continued journey. One does not just be healthy after they learn to cope. It's a continuous thing that one has to fight for. So that he's struggling on two different levels there, and all the while, echoes of his past, certain malevolent forces that plagued him in the Monsters Among Us, show up at his doorstep and set his new life askew. And it very quickly devolves into a post-apocalyptic scenario.
How did you come up with this point of view moving forward, him being a father? It almost feels like it could be like potential forecasting of your own future.
Well, yeah, that's a great point. I'm getting married in just over 5 months now. So crying for children is definitely in the cards. And I have thought about that. Like I mentioned, but we mentioned before, there are gifts to be found in the darkness. And so I would love my children to have those gifts. But on the flip side, I also would very much like them not to suffer like I did. So there's that conflicting duality again. And I've thought a lot about how maneuvering through that new phase of life would be for me, and I imbued that into Seth's storyline here. Took some inspiration from just raising my Labrador. Dogs are basically toddlers.
True.
I definitely was looking forward to in my own life for inspiration.
So these books could have taken all kinds of different paths, but you chose developing like mythic struggles and world building. How did that come about? And then what was your process for developing this?
There's always been the underlying theme of generational trauma in the Monsters Among Us. He learns that his entire upbringing was the orchestration of demonic forces, and everything was designed to torture him and set him down a particular brutal path. And so a lot of in the Wake of Gods is dealing with generational curses, generational trauma, and trying not to pass it down to his daughter while also trying to break these curses, break these the threads of trauma, so pain can actually be resolved. I find that, again, this takes inspiration from my own life. There's definitely generational trauma there, from I received from my parents and they received from their parents, and so I find this a very captivating and interesting topic of how to deal with the darkness handed down through lineage. I just find that a very interesting thing to explore and try to resolve, because when it comes to people with mental health, neurodivergence, it helps to be around people who are loving and supportive in the best of ways and are not gaslighting you or making and or acting in other ways that exasperate the problems.
Yes, it sounds like it's a rather complex process because you're writing these supernatural conflicts, and yet you want to keep sight of the character's humanity. How is that for you to balance?
I find this very easy for me, thankfully. I have been told on numerous occasions that I do this well, and that it's a like a prime great element of these books. But like my goal when writing these books was never to write a fantasy book. I had the characters in mind first. I had their dilemmas in mind first, and I just when I was writing The Monsters Among Us, I just asked myself, what's the best way? What's the best kind of metaphor I could use to pull these neurodivergent experiences out into the physical world so people who don't understand them can see them and feel them viscerally and empathize with them. So, and that just happened to be fantasy and horror. So yeah, I find that I achieve this because my goal, first and foremost, is to write a literary novel, which means, character focused. And everything else kind of just, bleeds in to the genre from there.
Were there any particular myths or legends or historical events that influenced the story?
The Monsters Among Us, as we probably talked about in our last podcast together, was inspired by Christian mythology. It tried to, it rewrites and reimagines what that whole mythology was trying to do for the and it gears towards a lens of criticism of that mythology. In the Wake of Gods continues that, but also adds in some Greek mythology elements. For example, Seth's daughter is named Persephone, who is very that name is very is meant to be a symbol for what Seth and his wife Sasha want for humanity, a new spring, a rebirth, a fruitful life without gods. And that and because of that, when the gods from Seth's past show up again, it of course causes a dilemma. They want a world where it is human focused, human first, but it's being ravaged by gods, and he has to relive his trauma over again.
So, since this is a series, you've got evolving characters. Seth is 20 years later, and the plot line, he now has a daughter. How do you think about keeping your readers engaged across a series?
Well, each book has its own identity. I feel like Monsters Among Us was very explosive and emotional in its narrative architecture. It was fantasy, but it leaned heavier into the horror elements. In the Wake of Gods is more reflective and contemplative because it has to match who Seth is at the present time. He was an emotional young man who is struggling with his mental health, but now he's a father who has it under control. It's mellow. It's more, tight and restrained. But also it leans heavier into the fantasy eventually. But what I have planned for the future of the series, there's two more books. The next book is much heavier into the fantasy. It actually takes place in a different realm, a different dimension that is touched upon in Monsters Among Us and in The Wake of Gods. But in book three, I will show it in full force. And how that connects to In the Wake of Gods is kind of a spoiler. Those who have read it know the catastrophic ending it has, and how it might connect to this fantasy world. But again, I can't touch upon that yet. But that book is called The Hollow King, and it will be out August next year. And then the fourth and final book has all these elements of with throughout the three books coming together, clashing, and heading into a more sci-fi realm of things. It's still fantasy and horror, but in a sci-fi backdrop, and that is an exclusive sneak peek that I haven't told anybody else. So,
And you heard it here, folks,
yeah.
first. Did you know, Kent, when you started The Monsters Among Us, that this was going to be a series?
No, I intended for it to be a standalone book. The book starts at its humble, simple beginnings of Seth being tormented by the life he has in this town run by demons. And then it explodes and opens up into this big grandiose journey that allowed for so many more possibilities, that once it finished, like for the next year afterward, it was like the characters in my were in like speaking into my ear. The story's not done yet. There's still more to tell. And there was a narrative thread that I could touch upon a bit more that resulted in the wake of gods existing, and that was, those gods returning that I mentioned before. But then when as I was developing this idea for In the Wake of Gods, I was like, oh no, the way that it's going to end necessitates a third and fourth book. But it will be done after the fourth book, I promise.
Oh my gosh, you don't have to promise. You could take us wherever you like. How's that?
Oh,
We're here.
for sure, for sure. I love these characters and these worlds I'm building, but I'm ready to write something new after this.
No, I get that. I get that. Would it be a completely different genre? Like, would you head into something different?
Well, yes and no. What I'm going to be writing next is more grounded, literary, dark, li just dark liter literature.
Okay.
Some of them might involve some fantasy elements, but it's going to be a lot more grounded. Not like what I've written so far. However, that's far in the future. I'd still have to write them, find publishers for them. But there is something else to look forward to after the series is finished, because I signed a contract for a standalone comedic horror novel with a dark fantasy elements that's coming within the next 2 years. It's called Birds of a Feather. And it's more grounded, low fantasy versus,
Yes.
as a contrast to the Monsters Among Us's high epic fantasy.
Oh, I love that you have a plan and that it's going to evolve as you do. It's like you're just getting all of this out of you in within these four books in this series, and then we'll see what you grow into. This is so fun. You know, your titles, do those come as you're writing? Does the title hit you and then you kind of write around it? I think our author listeners might be interested to know how you form the titles.
They usually come to me very early on. I usually like marin I let the ideas marinate in my brain for a bit first. That's my process. I have an idea, and I just let it sit in my brain. I don't write it down. I just let it be. And if like the next handful of months go by and I'm still thinking about this idea and it's expanding, it's getting bigger in my brain, that's how I know it's something I have to write. And usually within that process, I have a name for it too. I have the name The Monsters Among Us well in advance, and that helped me frame the narrative around that title too. The monsters in question can allude to many different aspects of the book. The same can be said about In the Wake of Gods. There's a lot of thought that went into that title. Gods in question can relate to many different things, and also the phrasing in the wake is very important as well for the and those who have read it so far might be able to piece together how that's important.
Speaking about those who have read it, how do you handle feedback from readers? I'm imagining you get a lot of feedback on this, and I'm wondering if you get any feedback regarding the darker aspects of your work. What do you hear?
Mostly good things. I've only ha gotten a handful of negative reviews, which I feel fortunate for, because there's authors bigger than me, authors I res highly respect, who get a lot more than I've gotten. But the good feedback, I've gotten a lot of the same stuff. Like, wow, this book is really dark. I was intimidated at first, but it's done in a very, careful way that makes it, digestible and easy to read and engaging, thought-provoking, which I'm really thankful that's the case, because that was my intention. I wanted the reader to ponder the nature of these darker elements of our life, neurodivergent mental health. I wanted them to ponder it in a way that makes them question whether or not these things are truly bad, as society has led us to believe so for so long, or as I said before, if there is in fact gifts to be found on the other end, can we turn this thing that society has deemed bad and turn it into a good thing? That those are the questions I wanted my readers to have. So I'm glad they've had them.
Yes, feedback is always valuable, good or bad. It's just good to get the feedback because often people read the books and you don't hear from them. So it's good to have a feeling what your audience is thinking and feeling. You know, listening to you, one I believe will come away thinking, oh, he's got this all pulled together. He's got this figured out, and you know, someone to look up to. As we're talking, I know that you've got a lot going on in your life. You are a pet parent, you're getting married, you have a job. There's just life. What challenges, if any, did you face while writing your books? And then how did you overcome them?
Well, The Monsters Among Us is the big one to focus on for this question because it took me 6 years to write. No matter how well put together I seem right now, I'm still learning a lot right now. So, be honest. But when I was first getting started, I always had a talent for just writing generally, but I still had to learn how to write fiction well. So I wrote the draft. I threw the draft away. I spent 2 years reading philosophy and other like research for the book that and then wrote the draft again and edited it many, many times, probably 18 drafts, honestly, I think it was. I spent 6 years of my life learning and relearning and honing my craft before I deemed The Monsters Among Us, ready for publication. There For any new writers out there, I would say it's frustrating. It will be frustrating, but even if it gets you down, just get back up again and keep on trying, because there's publishing is a very complicated industry. There's a lot to learn, but you'll get there eventually. I had to learn a lot when writing this book and first getting it out there, and I've had to learn even more. In the process of being a debut author, I've had to learn how to market. I've had to learn how to navigate my way through all these award submissions. There's really a never-ending list of things to learn, but embrace that. And when you do, get your book ready and send it out to publishers, reach out to other authors. I was so nervous for the beginning of my debuting year. To reach out to other authors for blurbs, get them to review it, just to get their support. Because I had in my head that why would they want to take the time for me? These authors who have, been around longer than I have achieved more than I have. But I've found that all these authors are extremely welcoming and warm. And if they say no, they'll be very polite about it, and it's usually only because they're busy with other things, as all of us authors are. But I've come across a lot who have been very passionately acceptive of wanting to help me. So don't be afraid to reach out for help is a tip I would say.
Well, from what I've heard talking with just, thousands of authors, is that the author group in general is a very supportive group. I mean, it's almost like we've all been, deep down in the depths of all of this, and we know how lonely and what kind of solo work it is. So I think when they realize that somebody else needs some help, most people are there to help. So I think that was a really, really good piece of advice, not to be fearful of it. And now I have the feeling that this is all turned around and you could be someone aspirational that somebody could look up to and say, hey, help me with this.
Absolutely. I've taken a few reading requests. I'm working on one right now. So it and that's how I also know that it's okay to ask for help. It feels nice that someone thinks highly enough about me to want my help. So it you're not going to offend them. Just ask authors for help. And again, the worst they will say is like, no, they're busy with other things. But
Exactly.
yes, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. The way to succeed as an author is to, rely on other authors. We're all doing it, so it's okay.
Yep. Well, the way to succeed in life is to rely on other people and then be there for others and have them rely on you.
Absolutely. And that's also a theme of my books, so I'm glad we brought that up.
It's a kindness
Togetherness.
circle. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, as we're going to begin to wrap up, I want to make sure that we're not missing anything that you wanted to highlight today. Obviously, with you, there's just so many directions we could take this. We could probably talk all afternoon. But I wanted to try to hit bits and pieces. But anything that is on your mind?
Sure, yeah. I know I'm here because I recently, in the Wake of Gods, recently won the Firebird Book Award, but I have something else to highlight. Just this morning, both in the Wake of Gods and the Monsters Among Us were finalists in the Story Trade Awards, for horror and fantasy. So within 2 months, they're racking up the accolades, and that's very exciting, and I hope you'll check them out. And you should now because, a year from now, a year from August 2020, August 2027, on the third book in the series, The Hollow King, releases, and shortly, sometime after that, fourth book will release. And other than that, look forward also to my comedic horror novel, Birds of a Feather, which will be coming from Nightmare Press in sometime within the next 2 years. There's no release date yet, but it's a fun one, and I'm looking forward to everyone reading it.
Oh, I love that. I love that. August 2027, Hollow King. You might want to change your book format. What is it, a 6x9? You might need an 8x10 or a 12x15 or something to fit all the awards.
I know. I was I just posted last night a little teaser for my announcement this morning for the Story Trade. I was making a face at the Monsters Among Us with all its awards. I'm like, oh, running out of cover space. So yeah, I don't know. Eventually, I might just not be able to put them on them.
Oh my gosh, that actually might be a book cover tip. So when you're designing your book cover, make sure that there's open space for your potential awards.
Yeah, I mean, if I ever have say over that, my publishers usually get pick the
I
covers. I didn't pick them. But yeah, any publishers out there listening, that's a good tip.
Exactly. Save some white space, would you? You save space for the barcode, save some space for the awards. I love
Absolutely.
that. All righty. So maybe give us contact information where folks could find out more about you and get copies of The Monsters Among Us and In the Wake of Gods.
Absolutely. You can find all the information about my books at kenpriori.com. You can follow me on social media across the board. I'm everywhere. Usually the username is at Ken Priori. There might be some other variation of Ken Priori author. You'll find me. But to buy my books, they're available on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, anywhere you can buy a book. They might be a little hard to find on the shelves at certain bookstores because, small presses don't have that kind of range, but they're available on Ingram to order. So just, if you want to support your local bookstore, go in and ask them to order my book. They definitely can.
All right. Thank you. You were such a pleasure to talk with, just so
Thank you.
rich in thought and in advice. So thank you for joining me today. I am really looking forward to, I hate to say, next year. We've got to wait a whole year. You should just whip something out real quick just so we can have
If
something.
only, yeah, the anticipation's killing me too.
Well, listen, Kent Priori, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me again.